I do what I do because I've seen God's power transform my own life, and He will do it for you. The key to everything is found in God's Word. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Well, hello there. I'm Ginger Stocky, and welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. We are so glad that you're joining us today. We have some unfinished business to get to. That's right. Yesterday, we were learning how to fight back against fear. And Joyce encouraged us to face it and not run away. So please join us as Aaron, Joyce, and I continue to trust God. We're going to talk about how to grow stronger and to attempt to live a life free from fear. But even if we are afraid, to do it afraid. Stay with us. We are going to talk about something that's really important because it impacts all of our lives, and especially in the world today. We live in a world that is full of fear. And so Joyce is here with us. Aaron and I are going to talk about how to deal with fear in our lives and how to help overcome it.
There's so many things going on in the world today. If you don't trust God, you go crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't be afraid of things. I mean, you can be, but you're just going to be miserable if you are. And so faith overcomes fear. And if we walk in faith, trusting God to take care of us, He says He loves us and that He will take care of us. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, you know, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for You are with me. And when you get afraid, there's a lot of scriptures that you can meditate on. That people in the Bible were afraid. Mm-hmm. When God called Jeremiah was afraid. He said, I'm too young, this and that. You know, different people. Moses told God, I'm not this, I'm not a good speaker, I'm not.
Yeah.
And the thing is God already knows what we're not.
Right.
And He uses the weak and the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Yeah.
And when I look back at how much time I wasted in fear, and the things worked out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I don't want to do that anymore. And another thing that we have to be careful of is dread, because dread is like the first cousin of fear. Hmm. And I had to go somewhere the other day and be with some people that I didn't particularly want to be with, and they had hurt me in the past, and it's just usually not a comfortable situation for me. And I just decided I'm going to go in there. I'm going to be friendly. I am going to take the initiative and be friendly. And three or four times that week, I had to say, I will not dread this, because I would start, I'd feel that dread, you know. And if you let dread go, it will turn into fear.
Yeah. No, that's really helpful to know how to handle that, because you just had to draw a line.
Yeah, you have to make your mind up. I mean, it's amazing how our thoughts, the effect that our thoughts have on us.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Bible tells us to cast down wrong thoughts and imaginations and take every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 10. Take every thought captive unto the obedience of Jesus Christ. And in the beginning, that's just like, my gosh, I spend the whole day casting down. And
every thought, and so many
back,
thoughts.
Casting down and coming back. But gradually, a little bit at a time, as your mind is renewed, according to the Word of God, the minute you feel fear, you recognize it, and you know that's not the way you're supposed to feel. So you can say, I will not fear, I will walk in faith.
Yeah.
And what you say, even to yourself, and we do all talk to ourselves.
We do.
What we say is very important. I think we believe more of what we say than what anybody else says.
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I was very terrified to go to sleep at night at a certain age. And so I remember my dad would come in and he taught me Psalm 23. And so we would say it over and over every night. And that got so deep in my heart that even as an adult, if I feel fear, then sometimes that scripture will come back up. And I think, so now I've taught it to my son who deals with some fear. And when the power of the word
right.
in our hearts just makes such an impact in those moments of fear that even though the fear might not have gone away, it gave me the strength to walk through that fear.
Right.
So
that's really important too, because I think sometimes we think that as I get older and more spiritually mature, somehow I won't have to deal with these things anymore. Like I'll get past the level of needing to guard my thoughts. And it really doesn't work that way. We always have to be aware of our thoughts. And when fear or dread or whatever's creeping in, you're talking about people in the Bible who had those issues. Jeremiah said, I can't do it because I'm too young. Sarah said, I can't do it because I'm too old.
Right.
I mean, there's always something that Satan will plan in our minds to remind us of why we need to be afraid, what we can't handle, all of those things. And if we have the Word of God so ingrained in us that that is our first response, it doesn't mean that we have to be ashamed of the fear that we faced. Because we've learned how to handle it. So it makes such a huge difference. Are there other things that can stir up fear in our lives? I know a lot of people just can't really take in too much news. Because there's so much in the world that is uncertain and so much that's going on. And of course, the negative news is what leads everything.
Right.
So that's one of the things that I've heard a lot of people talking about is making the choices in your own life, not to be hidden from truth, but how much can you handle and what is good for you and what is not?
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, I know someone who cannot watch any kind of a movie where there's any kind of attack on a woman. She just cannot do it because then she'll just start getting afraid, you know, that something's going to happen to her or one of her girls. And if you can't handle it, then it's better.
Then there's no need to do it. Don't do it.
Not to do it.
Yeah.
And so each person has to decide for themselves, is this something that I need to confront? I think we need to confront things that are keeping us from doing the things that God wants us to do.
Like one woman that we talked to who was afraid of flying.
Right.
And she knew that there were things that she needed to do, and she had to confront that fear so she could go where God wanted her to go.
Well, she was missing things in life because her husband traveled all the time.
Yeah.
And he wanted her to go, but she would not go unless they drove, and he was a very busy man. He didn't have time to drive everywhere, and she flies all the time now. But, you know, the first time when you're breaking that bondage off of your life, like I said, I mean, I would— like, for years and years, I never talked to anybody about what my dad was doing to me. And I was probably in my early 20s before I ever told anybody. And when I first started to talk about it, I would shake, and I would start shaking, and sometimes, even after I was finished talking about it, I might shake for 2 or 3 hours after that, trying to get myself calmed down.
Absolutely.
Well, now that doesn't happen at all. You know, I told the whole world what happened to me in an effort to help them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of pressing through things. But, you know, let's just talk for a minute about the opposing force. Let's talk about faith. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So those are two things. God is, and he's good. Mm-hmm. He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, we cannot receive and walk in God's good plan for our lives. And he is not pleased until we do, because he wants us to have good lives. And so if we don't have faith, it doesn't please him, because then we can't receive from him. Well, naturally, Satan is going to come against that, trying to give us the exact opposite of what God wants to give us. John 6:28, they ask him, what must we do to be doing the works that God requires? And Jesus said, this is the work that God requires of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent. It always comes back to that faith. and believing. John 11:40, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And I've just got scripture after scripture after scripture. But, you know, in, maybe instead of trying to fight all these fears, we just need to practice more believing and...
Yeah, that's good.
You know,
yeah.
Stay on the positive side.
Right.
Like the Bible says, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say fight with the lust of the flesh and then you'll be able to walk in the spirit.
That's
right.
So good.
Yeah.
Because then you walk in a situation, like I can just think of a couple examples where instead of me walking in and thinking, I'm not going to be afraid of this, I'm thinking, I am the daughter of the Most High.
Right.
I am called and equipped to do this, and he will give me what I need.
That's
and what a different way that is to go into a circumstance.
I wrote a book on habits, about making good habits and breaking bad habits. But I didn't call it breaking bad habits and making good habits. I talked about making good habits and breaking bad habits.
Yeah.
And the principle there is instead of me fighting with the bad habit and always trying to stop this, I can't do this, I got to stop this, got to stop this, I'm resisting it, I'm against it, I need to just practice doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And then there'll be no room for the bad thing. When you cast down a wrong thought, then there's room for you to think a good thought. But if you cast down a wrong thought and don't replace it with a good one, the wrong one's going to come right back.
Yeah. Which you teach about the words that we say. That you don't just stop saying negative things. I now have to say the positive in its place.
Well, when Jesus talked about casting out demons, he said, if you cast the demon out and the place is empty, then he'll just go get seven more and bring them back.
Bring
your
his
last,
friends.
Your
That's
last
not good.
End will be worse than your first.
Yeah.
So he was basically saying, we're going to get rid of the evil in your life, but now you need to do good things.
Sure.
So that evil can't find a place to get back in.
So it's not enough just to say, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I mean, you could try to work something up in yourself, which is like a false bravado, but that doesn't do it. It's not going to be sustained when something does happen. Instead, you have to know why you don't have to be afraid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, I'm not giving fear any more of my attention.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay attention to faith. And fill yourself full of faith scriptures and read books on faith and read books on believing. And you know, we believe something all the time, so why not believe the good things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're afraid, you're believing something bad's going to happen.
You're believing something bad's going to happen, so why it's just as easy and a lot more fun to believe that something good is going to happen. And some people might say, well, what, you know, and this was kind of my attitude. Well, if I believe that and then it doesn't happen, I'm going to be disappointed. But I always say I'd rather believe for a lot and get part of it than believe for nothing and get all of it.
Yeah, right. That's so true. I kind of had this revelation in the last year that when you fear something happening, there's no grace covering you yet because it hasn't happened. You don't need God's grace for it. But when you walk through something that's really difficult or hard or scary, God gives you the grace to walk through that situation. And so we had something happen, and I experienced God's grace kick in a way that it didn't take away from the pain of the situation. It was still awful, but yet God's peace and grace was there, so we had what we needed. And I thought, I had worried about something like this for so many years, and then when it happened, yes, it's still awful, but God gave us what we need.
Right.
And I just think that we would save so much energy.
Yeah, you're right.
To not have to even mess with that until it's time, and he gives you what you need to walk through it.
Because rather than just during this difficult time that you're walking through it, which is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, God is with you. He's helping you. It doesn't always make it feel better at the moment.
Right.
But it will in the long run.
Right.
Instead of just having this timeline that you had to deal with it, if you're afraid of it, then you have this timeline that you have to deal with it because of all the fear leading up to it.
Yes.
And you just take a bad situation and you expand on it incredibly. And it takes so much out of us, like you were saying,
yeah,
to even be in that fear all the time. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
And, you know, fear is not just afraid of things in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, yes, can also be afraid of things in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I made a mistake now, and I'll never get over
it. Right, yeah.
You know, I've totally messed this up. I sinned, and now God won't forgive me. Or, you know, I blew my opportunity, now I'll never get another one.
Yeah.
We need to apply faith
both sides
in all areas of our life. Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
So fear is the substance of things we don't hope for.
Yeah. Right.
And God wants us to be full of hope. Hope has become really important to me in the last few years when I really studied it out and found out that Bible hope is not like this, well, the world's kind of hopeful. I really hope it happens, but I don't know. You know, it probably won't, or maybe it will, but I hope it will. Bible hope is believing that something good is just about to happen at any moment in your life. And you can't have faith without hope, because faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
So you might even just squash it down to something that anybody can understand. Be positive.
Yeah.
Hope is always positive.
Mm-hmm.
So always be positive. Always believe the good things. Believe the best of people. Don't be suspicious and fearful that something bad is going to happen all the time. I mean, it is absolutely amazing that we will not go beyond what we believe.
Yeah.
Well, that makes so much sense, because if fear is the expectation that something bad is going to come, then hope is the antidote. It's
right.
The expectation that something good is going to come, that God is going to bring good into our lives. So if we can replace fear with faith and hope, I mean, it really is just like taking an aspirin for a headache.
Right.
You know, one will defeat the other.
Yeah.
That's right. Good. Good preaching.
Are there things, as we close out, are there things that have been a bigger struggle with you guys for fear, that you know, we talk about this stuff and it's so true. It is absolute truth, but it's not always easy to walk out, you know? So are there things that you would encourage anybody with things that you've had to overcome in your life and how you've seen God work in some of these fearful areas?
Well, the biggest thing that I still have to stand against, and I hope I don't have to do it all my life, but I had a real stronghold built in my childhood of being afraid of my dad's anger. And so when he would get angry, I would always do this dance trying to get him back in a good mood, you know, trying to make a joke or, you know, buy him a gift, you know, do something to make him get back in a good mood. And I, you know, it doesn't bother me if somebody's mad at me that I don't really care that much about, but when it gets to be a close friend or family, if I think that I've made somebody mad, I have a really hard time settling down until I know they're okay with me. And that is the one thing that I still have to stand against and remind myself of. So that's my thing.
That's a good one. I think for me, it has to do with being a mom and just my inability to control anything about my children. And
as every mother understands.
Yes, I'm probably not alone in this.
Yeah.
But even as they get older, the things that I can't control are changing. And so learning how to work with God and then open hands to remind myself they're not mine, it is very scary to me. But I want to keep, like,
but then you can talk to somebody like me.
Yes.
Who has four grown children.
Yes.
And all the time I wasted being afraid of this with this one and that with that one and this with that one and that one. And you know what? They've all turned out just great.
They have, and that's so encouraging. I think that's that you sharing your story helps me with my fear.
Right.
So I think that's good.
And the Bible says if you train them up in the way they should go, when they're old, they won't depart from it. I think that every child, maybe not every child, you know, but a lot of children come to what I call a crisis of faith. They have to, I remember one of my kids saying to me, I have to find out if I believe this because I really believe it's true, or do I just believe it because you believe it?
Yeah.
Because you've taught me to believe it.
Sure.
And so they had to go on a little spiritual journey of, you know, maybe not going to church for a while and, you know, not, you know, doing things, and then come back around to knowing they were doing it because they wanted to.
Yeah.
And those times were scary for me because, you know, well, what if, what if, what if, what if?
Right.
And that's one of the devil's favorite sayings, by the way, what if? And I just know from experience that, you know, first of all, you can't control what they do now or when they're grown.
Right.
And you can raise a child totally right, and they'll still go haywire.
Mm-hmm.
But all you can do is the best you can do, and then you have to leave it in God's hands.
Yeah.
I think something that people don't really comprehend is when I pray something for you, I believe God hears and answers prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're praying for somebody else, you have no control over their free will.
Yeah.
And neither does God, because he's given them free will. So you may not always get what you want when you're praying for somebody else, because what happens when you pray for them is God will begin to deal with them, but he won't, you know, maybe like salvation, you're praying for somebody that's not saved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's going to begin to deal with them, but they still have to submit their will to God.
Right.
So you have to know going in when you're praying for other people that there's no 100% guarantee that you're going to get what you want.
Sure.
And you can't do anything beyond what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it in this situation and in so many in our lives, in the things we're afraid of, is we can't control. We can only trust, like you said.
Right.
It all comes back to trust. So I can ask him and I can give them the people or the situation, and then I have to just let go, because otherwise that fear can just eat at you.
Let me just say something to you as we close here that I hear all the time, and you just did it. We say, no, this is good.
Oh, great.
We say, I have to trust God, but we should say, I get to trust God.
Yeah.
I have to let go. No, you get to let go.
Yeah.
And know that God's got it.
Yeah.
I have to is one of the things that Jesus died for. That's legalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I have to go to church. Well, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to the grocery store. No, you could just not eat.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many that we everything in life is, well, I have to do this. I have to go to work. I have to. No, you get to. And I've been thinking about that with faith and trust. What a privilege it is to have a problem and be able to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the people in the world that
really
don't
true.
Know how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's a great privilege that we have. We get to trust God with our children.
Yep.
We get to trust God with our finances. So no more have to.
That was good.
That's a great place to wrap things up. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I think there are a lot of fears right now that are just subsiding, you know, that God's working in your life and he's teaching you about faith and hope, and he's sharing with you how to deal with your fear in a different way. Instead of trying to fight it and combat it on your own with your own strength, he is showing you a better way, and you get to walk through that with his help. So thank you both. Love you guys. Love all of you. And we'll see you right back here next week. Bye-bye.
We will.